Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Mark, and we'll continue this series with part one of Being with Jesus. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 3, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And he entered the synagogue again. So already Mark has given us information on ministry that Jesus was doing in the synagogue. And so once again, he is in a synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. And these, of course, would have been the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. You know, we read these things here in the Gospels and we read them over several times. And, you know, it's good to kind of sometimes try to put ourselves in the picture. And, you know, as you put yourself in this picture, as you, you know, see yourself as maybe an somebody observing there in the synagogue. It really is a pathetic scene. You know, Jesus is looking to help a person. He's looking to bless this man who's afflicted. And the religious leaders, all they can think of is trying to catch him in some minor violation of their law. And what a tragic thing. And, you know, religion can do that. You know, we hear a lot today, we hear people say, "Oh, religion's the cause of all the problems in the world. And every war that's ever taken place has been rooted in religion." And, you know, that's certainly an overstatement. But religion is a problem. This kind of religion. Religion that is devoid of God and focused on rules. And, you know, that kind of merciless rigidity that would condemn and judge and, you know, find fault. And that's where the religion was when Jesus came into the world. That's what Judaism had devolved into. And it was a pathetic state. No mercy. These guys had absolutely no mercy. And notice here, you don't find many places where you read that Jesus was angry, but he was angry here. And what was he angry about? He was angry about the hardness of their hearts, that they were so hardened that they had no concern for the man. They couldn't care less about this man. All they cared about was their interpretation of their rules. And this guy, Jesus, He's breaking our rules, and we need to do something about that. And that is sad. That is really tragic. But it didn't stop there. It's been repeated over and over and over again. And you can still find this kind of religious attitude today. You can find it in a variety of different religions. Sadly, you can find it in the church, where there's, you know, the concern is all about the minor details of the laws or whatever the case, and no real consideration for the person. And we really have to guard ourselves. There was an event that took place related to a church back in Chicago. The event was called the Elephant Room. And it's an event where a number of pastors get together and they discuss kind of controversial topics. They intentionally invite people that hold a variety of views so they can, you know, have sort of a civilized discussion about it with people that you don't necessarily agree with. And so they invited a person who came from a background where he had been brought up to believe in what's known as a oneness view of the nature of God. It's a position that basically rejects the Trinity. They believe in the full deity of Jesus, but they just don't think that there's three persons. I think there's one God who manifests himself in different ways. Sometimes manifests as the Father, sometimes the Son, sometimes the Holy Spirit. So it's definitely an incorrect view, and it's a denial of the Trinity. But this particular person who grew up in this tradition has moved away from that. And by his own testimony and admission, he has become a Trinitarian. So he no longer agrees with that oneness perspective. Now he believes that there is one God and three persons. But he still has, you know, some areas where he's just not quite clear about a few things. So anyway, because he was invited to this thing, there's this big uproar in the evangelical community over this. And there are, you know, lines that have been drawn and divisions that have taken place. And there are those that are very, very upset that he would have been invited in the first place and, you know, given a position there to speak. And then others are upset at those who are mad about that. And, you know, it's all this controversy and debate that's going on. But in the midst of it all, and I've read a bunch of articles on it, and I actually wrote something on it. But you know, it's kind of one of these things where they've completely lost sight of the person. And it's all about, well, he didn't say the formula right, you know? And until he gets the formula exactly the way we think he should get it, then we're not going to accept this guy. We're not going to believe that. And then, by the way, he has some other theological issues as well. And the guys that invited him are saying, well, look, we understand that. And we didn't let him off the hook. And we challenged him on these things. But we're trying to connect with him as a man. And, you know, perhaps we can be a good influence. And, you know, as I listen to kind of both sides of this argument, I'm much more inclined these days to come down on the side of, let's embrace the guy. He's admittedly moved into an orthodox position here. He still might have some other issues, but is it going to be more likely that we're going to bring him over by loving him or by hating him and cursing him and pushing him away? Well, obviously, I think it would be the former, if we love him and we reach out to him. But it's this kind of, you know, hair-splitting type of stuff that the Pharisees were guilty of, but the church has repeated this over and over again. And through the long history of the churches had been divided over so many things and at war over so many things, Christians fighting with each other. And so often it comes down to, you know, a complete disregard or lack of mercy or compassion for the individual, but just, you know, looking at it from purely from the standpoint of, well, until they line up exactly with our theological position, we will have nothing to do with them. And God help us to not be like that. You know, we so easily pass judgment on our brothers. And I'm amazed today at how freely people will judge other Christians when the Bible tells us not to do that. Paul, in writing to the Romans, he said, "Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and indeed God is able to make him stand." You know, that's a question that a lot of people need to consider. You know, who am I to judge somebody else? This is God's servant. It's not my servant. So we don't want to be like the Pharisees and have such hardened hearts that we're not thinking about the person. We're not looking to show mercy and compassion and seeing if we might be able to, you know, through love, be a good positive influence. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's a similar situation. But it's that Pharisaical attitude. And one guy said, and I liked his conclusion, he said, you know, we need to be Christians not only be concerned about our, he's talking about like a confessional Christianity where, you know, lining up with a proper theology. That's important. But that proper theology needs to affect our behavior. And it needs to manifest itself in love. And that's what the Pharisees did not have. These guys were, theologically, for the most part, they were right about things. They were the ones who kind of got it right versus the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the liberals of the day. The Pharisees were more like the radical fundamentalists of the day. They got the Bible right for the most part, but it never translated into love, never manifested itself in grace. And it was basically they used their theological position to just beat up people who they didn't find acceptable. Jesus doesn't like that. He's angry with these guys. So we don't want to be like them. But Jesus withdrew, verse 7, with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan. And those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, they came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. So here's Mark's account of Jesus calling the apostles to himself. And so he gives us the list of names: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. There was Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. Just a quick note, there's a couple of names here that are different than where Matthew records it: Bartholomew and Thaddeus. Bartholomew is Nathanael, and Thaddeus is Judas, another Judas, not Judas Iscariot. So oftentimes they had two names. But I think it's interesting here. What it says that he appointed these 12. And look at these three things: that they might be with him, number one. And secondly, that he might send them out to preach. And then thirdly, to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. You know, as I look at that, I think That's the order as well. You know, he calls us, first of all, that we might be with him. We've got to be with the Lord. If I'm going to be used by the Lord, I've got to, first of all, be with the Lord. I've got to be spending time with him. I've got to be being instructed by him. I've got to be being filled with his Spirit. And that is what happens when I'm with the Lord. There's a temptation to just run out and we're going to do a bunch of things for God. And what happens when we do that without having first been with him, we find out that we get into trouble pretty quick. We run out of strength. We end up going in the wrong direction, doing a lot of things that in the end don't really amount to anything, wasting a lot of energy, and we're exhausted at the end of it. So remember, the first priority is to be with the Lord, to take the time to be with him. And that's his first desire for us, is fellowship. God didn't save us to first and foremost be his servants. Being his servants is part of our calling, but the first and most important aspect of our calling is just into the fellowship itself with him. God saved me not because he wanted a servant, but because he wanted a son. He wanted a son to fellowship with. He wanted a son to commune with. He wanted somebody that he could bestow his love upon and have this, you know, intimate relationship with. That's the first thing. Isn't that amazing to think about that? God wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have us coming to him. He wants us to come to him just simply to seek him. He wants us to come to him when we have needs. He wants us to come and say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. He wants us to do that. He invites us to do that. He encourages that. That's the number one thing. We're his sons. And he wants to share in that father-son relationship. I love connecting with my sons. You know, two or three times a week, my son who lives up in Northern California, we're on the phone, we're talking, we're sharing. I'm asking him, you know, how you doing? How's the family? How are the kids? You know, it's not business. It's just, it's fellowship. I love that. And I'm so appreciative that we have that. My youngest son has gone to England now. And, you know, this kid who was like, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got to go, you know, see what the Lord has for me and all of that. And you know, I talked to him today. I'm a little homesick, you know. I sure wish I would have come over for dinner more often before I left, you know. But all of that to say, you know, that's on the human level. That's what God's desiring with us, men, as his sons. He wants to connect with us. And so Jesus, he appoints these men to come to be with him. And you know, when we're with the Lord, there's a wonderful thing that happens. He rubs off on us. We become more like him by just simply being with him. You know, isn't it true we find ourselves so often, we're striving like, man, how can I be a better Christian? You know, how can I get a victory over this? Or I really got to stop doing that thing. And all that's true. But you know, the way that that's really going to happen is not the way we think. Because what we think is, I got to be more disciplined. I've got to have a stronger willpower. I've got to, and we, you know, we try all those things and it doesn't work. It works for a season, and then we find we end up right back where we are. But, you know, here's the secret. You just spend time with the Lord. You just be with him. Make it a point to get with God and just to open up your heart and to just talk to him and tell him what's on your mind and let him talk back to you through his word and communing with him in prayer. And what happens is we just start to become more like him. He rubs off on us. He has that way of doing that. And we find ourselves, the more we spend time with the Lord, we find ourselves just gradually more and more becoming more and more conformed into his image. So that's the first thing. Then The second thing is that he might send them out to preach. So there's stuff for us to do. God has stuff for us to do. Some of you guys might have been here last night. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the things that God wants to do. He's given to each person a measure of faith. Everybody's got a task. Everybody's got things that God wants them to do. But again, they are birthed out of the communion. So as we take the time and we commune with the Lord, then he sends us out to do things. He sends some out to preach, like these guys were going out to preach here. But he sends us out to do a variety of different things. Sends us out just, you know, to be a witness, to meet people and to share his love. And what a wonderful thing. You know, this past week I was got in a conversation with a young lady, and to make a long story short, you know, I invited her to church, and I was sitting up here Sunday morning, first service, and I saw her walk through the back door, and I thought, God, that is so great. Thank you, Lord, that you brought her. And she's young, 28 years old, and a couple of children separated from her husband right now, and kind of just going through a difficult time. But the thing is, I got to just really share the gospel with her. And it all was born out of just being at the right place at the right time. You know, just, hi, how you doing? You know, just simple things. But she noticed, because Braden and I would have a discipleship time every week at this place, and she worked near there. So she would see us sitting there reading our Bible and talking and all that, and she was really curious about that. Wow, that's interesting what you're doing. And because her comments were real favorable, I kind of thought she was a Christian. And then I started talking to her. I saw her, actually, she was crying. And I looked at her, I thought, oh, are you okay? What's going on? She said, oh, I'm just having a rough day. So I started talking to her, and you know, assuming that she was a Christian, finally said, well, are you a Christian? She said, well, no, I was raised a Buddhist. And I've been thinking about God, though, and I've been thinking about Jesus, and I've read a couple of things. I'm interested in that. I like that. But she didn't know where to go from there. And so I just had this great opportunity to say, well, you know what you really need? It's just this simple. You need to just meet Jesus. Because when you meet him, everything else will come together. And so, you know, the Lord's doing that with her. But all of that to say, you know, as we're with the Lord, now I didn't walk out the door with a pocket full of tracks saying, all right, I'm going witnessing here today. I'm just going out. But I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm going out and I'm saying, Lord, here I go. Would you use me? And that's the way it works. Not to say you can't stick a bunch of tracks in your pocket and go out. That's great too if God's leading you to do that. But he's going to send us out. And he's going to use us. And then look, the third thing, to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. And again, here it is. God wants to send us out to help people. People are messed up. People's lives are destroyed. People are sick. And if it's not physically sick, they're certainly spiritually sick and emotionally sick. And there's sicknesses in the families, in the relationships, and people are oppressed. Satan's ripped people off. And we're the ones that God wants to send out to bring blessing and to bring healing in those kinds of situations. So, remember that. It starts with being with him. Be with him and be prepared to be sent out. And as you go, be prepared to bring a blessing to people. So the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And can you believe that? That the family of Jesus, at one point, they thought, he's lost his mind. What is he doing out there preaching? What is he doing out there proclaiming the kingdom of God? And that happens still to us today too, doesn't it? You get on fire for Jesus and man, people just think you're crazy. You've lost it. You're nuts. What's the matter with you? But you're in good company because it happened to the Lord.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Mark in our next study
as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Being with Jesus. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Being with Jesus. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM123. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.